school, in regard to all the others, that must be always seemingly rebellion, that the others are a symbol for the descendants, it is especially true in regard to Yaakov. The reason being that Yaakov was the only one of the others whose mitzvah was Shlomo, who was the father of Israelites and only of Israelites. Avram was the ancestor of Ishmael, and Yitzchok was also the ancestor of Nehushtan. But Yaakov was only the Av, the father of the Israelites. For this reason, I would like to say, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov, Ato Simon Libanet. This implies that Yaakov was a symbol to his children in a special way, more than the other of it. And our sages also tell us, Kol Masi Yigal Yaakov, Yigal Yigal. It is therefore very important to delve into every incident that Yaakov experienced in order to draw from it guidance and inspiration. Now, at the beginning of this week's Shabbat, the Torah tells us that Yaakov stopped in a certain place and he lay down and he put the stone under the head to lie upon the stone. And then he dreamt, and this wasn't an ordinary dream, it was a prophetic dream. He dreamt of a ladder that was set up on earth, which stopped his heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. And on top of the ladder, he beheld Almighty God, who set a limb that the land upon which he was lying will be given to him and to his children, and that his children, his descendants, will spread forth like the dust of the earth in all directions. And then Ribbono Shel Olam said to him, "Vinei Amelech Imo, Ishmaticho Bechilas Atelech. I'll be with you, I'll guide you wherever you go. Thou shalt return to the land. I will not forsake you. Ada shall emerge to the garden. Now you can ask this message. Now you know what you shall send a lot of my girl when you shall. And Yaakov took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up as a messenger, and he poured Shemen on top of it. And he called the place Bethel. And then Yaakov made his vow. Remember, Lomar, in year of the king of Ishmarani Bader Hazel, Asher Amich Elich, the Yotan Lechem 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 The Holo Adishem Lil Lelkin. The Evel Azei Tashasam Kimakrivo Yer Beisalekin. The Holo Ashatikon Li Asher Ashkana. He made a vow, but the vow was made on his Nai. And the Nai was that if God will be with him, if God will help him, God will guard him on the road, and God will enable him to come safely to our Israel, then Hashem will be his God. The whole Hashem will be the king, and that heaven which is set up as a material will be dedicated as the house of God, and he will be mighty all his work. so it was without any condition. I'm not raising the question as to why Yaakov imposed the condition in respect to the vow of Asher HaKhanah. Because without the acquisition of wealth, he will not be in a position to give his wealth unto God. But Yaakov interposed the T'nai not only in connection with the neder of Asher HaKhanah, he also stipulated to T'nai a condition in connection with his neder of the Holo Adishem Yiriti. Ishafti Yishalim Mal Bishadi, the Holo Adishem Yiriti. Now, how could Yaakov impose such a condition? The implication appears to be that if Chas V'Shalom, the Rebbei Shalom will not guard him on the road, and if the Rebbei Shalom will not give him bread to eat and raiment to clothe, then he will not be dedicated unto God. How could Yaakov make such a condition? And then, why the doubt? Why the prophet? Did it Hashem say to him in so many words? For all the Tatar Ato, Sheikhi Volo, Lichoret Memo, Zarecho, Volo, Zarecho, Kafar Oret, Zine Yomei Chiyimo, Ushmatiko, Michela Tatarei, Vatirishiko, Adoma, Azoi, Kimu Yerza, Yaakov shouldn't have any doubt as to the fact that this promise made by Almighty God himself will be fulfilled. So why did he express a doubt? That's the first difficulty. The second difficulty is, why did he impose the condition in his dedication unto God? In order to resolve these two difficulties, we have to delve into the meaning of Matzah. Now the Rambam points out Vayotzei, regard to the topic of Vayotzei Eitzah Matzevo, Kvor Pirsei Rabbeinu. ההפרש של בין המסיבו למזבח, שהמסיבו ונחש והמזבח עבור נהר. מזבח consists of many stones. It's a whole structure, an edifice. מסיבו is one single stone. ונראה שהמסיבו תהיה אותו לנפי חולו נפח יאי וליצי חולו לסמר. ונראה לו ונראה לו זבח, והמזבח להלו שלו תאילו תתלמו. ובידי אמרו אורת נפחו עליהם המעשה. בשם הכיפור, מעשה זה was not despised by Hashem. And the others themselves employed the מעשה. But מעשה זה has a different function from the מזבח. The function of the מזבח is to be מקריב קורבנות of זמן. The function of the Matzeva is to pour wine or sex. At Matzeva, Matzeva as such was forbidden. But the function of the Matzeva, which was for the purpose of offering wine and shemen, that was incorporated together in God. Together with the Zevach, we have Mitzahim, and we have Shemenot. So we see that whereas prior to Matitor, the offering of the Zevach was done on the Zevach, and the offering of the of feminine yelling with them, and in that thing, well, it's not before they were, the two were integrated. And then, they have to be offered underneath it. Now, let's understand what in that way is the Matthieu distinguished from the Mitzvah, and why did the Rebbeinu Shalom incorporate the offering of Yayin and Shemen into the offering of the Mitzvah. But it seems that the Rebbeinu Shalom expects men to bring two kinds of korban. One korban is the korban that is offered on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach represents the sacrifices of hardship and misery. Like the Zevach that is slaughtered and whose blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. But Yayin is a valid snapshot of hardship and misery. Yayin and Shemen are symbolic, on the contrary, of luxury and wealth and success and prosperity. Shemen was used to anoint kings and to anoint kingdoms. Shemen apparently is a symbol of authority, of power. Yayin is Samach Rivavani. Yayin is a symbol of wealth, of luxury, of joy, of happiness. And a man is expected to bring the cause in misery, hardship, and suffering, and at the same time is expected to bring the cause in success, prosperity, joy, and happiness. At first glance, it appears that the cordon of that is offered in misery, hardship, and trouble and misfortune is the more difficult one. But the cordon that is offered in success, prosperity, joy, and happiness, that's comparatively easy. But the history of the Jewish people proves the contrary to be true. Jews, in the course of history, have never drifted from the path of God on account of the hardship, suffering, and misery, persecution, and massacre that overtook them. But many a time, the Jews drifted away from the path of God because of the prosperity, success, and happiness that he experienced. Jesus came before they were forced to go into exile. Many of them were completely assimilated. There was a great deal of King Shabbos in Spain before the day of Torah. But with the day of Torah, with the decree from the king of Spain that all Jews are either to convert themselves into Christianity or to go into exile, then the overwhelming majority of Jews, even those Jews who have been completely assimilated, decided to go into exile, but not to embrace Christianity. Apparently, it was easier for Jews to the older generation to show that they can have the courage of refusing to succumb to the threat of persecution and torture. But they could not manifest the courage that is necessary for a person to dedicate himself unto God in the face of prosperity and success. The Rambam mentioned in Hilchot Yetzirah Torah, I once cited the question of Rambam, the audacious is being the symbol of Kiddush Hashem. Yosef was the symbol of Kiddush Hashem in refusing to succumb to temptation in face of threats of death and terror. But Yosef also showed an example of refusing to succumb to the temptation of glory and success. Yosef was the same in jail while he was subjected to all kinds of inconsiderate torture and the very palace of Pharaoh. His communion with God, or on account of the merit of a successful career, of a glorious goal that might be suspended on account of the Jews' dedication unto God. But Jews, as a whole, were able to show courage in refusing to interrupt the communion with God on account of the laws of his Koyach HaLitzei, but they are not able to show courage in refusing to interrupt the communion with God on account of the glory that the king shows to the Jews. Now the Mizbeach, that consists of many stones, and it is symbolic of the hardship that a person must, who wish a person must undergo in order to give the cordon of the Mizbeach. He must climb upon the Mizbeach. He must climb against the pull of gravity. But the Mizbeach upon which Shemen and Yain were poured unto God, that represents the cordon that the Jews offer in success, in prosperity, and in happiness. And that's not difficult. You don't have to climb against the pull of gravity. You can just, if there is a material and you want to go over it, so then you just pick up your legs and you go over it. You don't have to climb. That's apparently easy. But that was not carried out as often as the korbanos that were offered under the Mizbeach. Now Yaakov, after he woke up from his sleep, in which he beheld a prophetic vision of Almighty God talking to him, of the ladder set up on earth and reaching its top unto heaven, which symbolized Matthew Torah, our Savior saying, "Do not make a path of the race to Magia Shamaimo, just deny." It means the Torah, because the Torah combines the earth with heaven. He knew very well at that moment when he woke up that he did not have to entertain any doubt as to his capability of persevering in his dedication unto Hashem in face of adversity. That he knew very well. He did not have to be mechazek himself. He did not require any chizuk. He knew that while he was running away from his brother Esau, and while he was lying down on the ground in an unprotected place with his head and stone. He was able to dream of a Suamus of our salvation, Adi Asamayo. That himself was indicative of the higher degree of courage and contemplating sacrifice in face of adversity. He didn't have to set up a Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is only a symbol of the vocation of a Jew to bring that a sacrifice in face of adversity. Yaakov did not require any symbol. His dream was the best evidence of the spirit of sacrifice in face of adversity that Yaakov possessed. He did not have to take any vows and enormous work to strengthen himself in the realm of Kabbalah and the Mizbeach. But Yaakov knew very well that there will come a time when he will not be faced with suffering and persecution and humiliation. There will come a time when the prophecy of God will be fulfilled. Yaakov had no doubt that God's promise will be fulfilled, that he will come home safely, and that he will have Rechem Echo and Bezek Lubo. So Yaakov said, "In the year and the team of the now in the summer the harbor is able to call his house say this. In the need, not only of peace in the sense of a condition, but in has the sense of the meaning of when, and in also has the meaning of in when." He said, we're speaking to Nach, in has the meaning of in when. And Yaakov said, my Yigal Yaakov Medarena, he was sure that he was able to bring Kabbalah under his bear. He did not require any chizuk in that realm. But he said, in the year of the king, in the when, the rebellion shall be delivered. In the when, the rebellion shall be held guard of me. I'm the road, the time goes. And when the rebellion shall provide me with Rechem Echo and Bezek Lubo, and when I will have returned to my father's house, in the when, in sense of prosperity, success, and security, in sense of happiness and joy, in then, oh, you understand the way things. That required the forgiveness of the Matthew or not of the Mizbeach. Yaakov thought he does not require chizuk in the realm of the Mizbeach, but he requires chizuk in the realm of the Matthew. Because he had no experience of yet at that moment in the realm of the Matthew. He was not sure of himself. Maybe when the promise of God will be fulfilled, when he will have attained success, prosperity, and happiness, maybe then he will decide to do the right promise of God, Chas v'Shalom. So Yaakov decided to be mechazek himself, to strengthen himself, that even when the rebellion shall be given and will attain success and happiness and security, that Hashem will be for him or him. The Ovel Adai, consequently, the Ovel Adai is as a something as a law, that he put up at the moment of misery and suffering, so will be dedicated as a base of a king. The whole of the kitchenly, after the last. These are the two components that the Jews expected to offer and to God. The Kabbalah of the Mizbeach and the Kabbalah of the Matthew. But prior to Matthew Torah, the two Kabbalahs were offered separately. There was no integration between them. At Matthew Torah, the two types of Kabbalah were integrated. And both were to be offered on the Mizbeach. Now the question arises, what connects the Mizbeach between the Mizbeach, which is symbolic of suffering, and the Kabbalah of Yayin, of Nisuch HaYayin in Shemen, which are symbolic of wealth and prosperity. In order to understand that, I would like to explain certain psukim in Israel in connection with Matan Torah. Some of you the Rebellion Shalom is rocket motion to set bounds unto the mountain. The Rebellion Shalom is of Israelia. The Shem Ulochem Alei Zboho in Gea Bikoteyu. Kolane Gea Boho Moishim. And then it is mentioned, it's just before Matan Torah, as Moshe ascended the mountain, the Rebbeinu Shalom said to Moshe, "Lei de'ei bom, ten yasher adishem v'yirei, v'inochal mimeno rov." He should exhort the people not to approach the mountain, lest there be a catastrophe. ויהיה מישהו הראשון ליוכל היום לעל האיש על הסיני, כעת העזים שבנו, ואימר הדבר את האור וכדה. The people not going to ascend the mountain. For you already exhort them against approaching the mountain. אז אם הרבה הראשון, לך ראית ואולית שעת הגעה ללוך, ואפיל אני ליום על יעשו לעל איש על הראשון. תן לי את זה. Still, go and warn them again. Now the question arises, what kind of a discussion was there between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rebbeinu Shalom knew that he had already instructed Moshe to set bounds onto the mountain. But the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe to warn the Israelites again. So why did Moshe argue with the Rebbeinu Shalom? Why did he say you hello on the alley? And then, when Moshe said, the Yuchal Om Ra'alei, so the Rebbeinu Shalom gave him an answer, Reich Reid Ve'olitza Atta Ra'alei Imo, Va'akilen and Yom Ha'alei Atta Ra'alei Atta Hashem Ta Yitzhak Ben. Well, didn't Moshe know that the reason is why the Israelites were advised not to cross the mountain is because they Yitzhak Ben. So what? What was the argument that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and what was the answer that Rebbeinu Shalom gave to Moshe Rabbeinu? Apparently, Moshe tried to understand what the Rebbeinu Shalom expected of him when he said these bouncers to Omsom. The Rebbeinu Shalom said to Moshe that he should set bounds. What does it mean, set bounds? In other words, he should set up in a chitz between the mountain and the rest of the place. What kind of a chitz? In the halacha we have two kinds of a chitz. We have a chitz gemurah, that is, a wall made of stone. It's a chitz gemurah. It's a structure
It's a drug. Exit.
If someone wants to enter a certain place and leave there is a wall, close them up.
There is a physical barrier that prevents him from entering the place.
Let him hit it more. Then there is in the halacha, there is another kind of mechitza.
Kol tzuras ha-pesach.
What is tzuras ha-pesach? Tzuras ha-pesach is kol mikami, we kol al-gabeya. One post, another post, and then wire that is wound around. So that is considered a mechitza. Does that obstruct passage if a person wants to enter in certain ways, even though he is a Tzuras ha-pesach, he can very easily penetrate into the place. But it says the truth of the Tzuras ha-pesach is symbolic of the Mechitza. It indicates that it's a private domain. And if a person has respect for the privacy of the person, of another person, then he will not enter the domain if he sees the Tzuras ha-pesach. He knows it's not him, it's somebody else's. But this does not constitute a physical barrier. It's a voluntary barrier. It's not a recusant, it's a real thing. The one who has respect for the law, who has respect for the right of others, if he sees the Tzuras ha-pesach, he takes notice that it's private domain, he's not allowed to enter. But if he does not have respect for the law, then he can very easily penetrate into the reshus of the other. We have between New York State and New Jersey, there is a Hudson River. That's a real mechitza. That's a physical barrier. If someone wants to get into New Jersey, he must resort to the use of a bridge or a boat. He cannot pass from New York into New Jersey. But I went by train from New York to California, from Chicago to California, and exchanged. And then on the train, it was pointed out that at one point where there was the borderline between the state of Utah and the state of Nevada. And there I noticed two poles, and on top of the poles there was wire, and to the wire there was a patch. A big sign will state that this is the borderline between the states of Utah and the state of Nevada. And it was so well constructed to see the one who constructed it, 70 secretary, as a new example, how a Tzuras ha-pesach is to be constructed. Much better than some of the Tzuras ha-pesach that are constructed with some of the very orthodox things. It was not in a card in any way. Now that was also a mechitza. But what kind of a barrier did it constitute? It was does not have respect for the jurisdiction of the state of Nevada, then it can safely enter into the territory of Nevada. But for one who has respect for the law, and who has respect for the right of others and for the right of other faiths, then this is the best mechitza. Because he's given notice of a certain border. Now, the Torah said, Rebbeinu said to Moses, "You bought it from them. You should put up in mechitza." The question arose in Moses' mind: what kind of a mechitza? What kind of a mechitza? Did Rebbeinu Shalom want a group to be a mechitza more? Or a real thing, a symbolic mechitza? Moshe thought that in order to prevent the catastrophe of Chas V'Shalom, a Jew perishing as a result of his attempt to ascend the mountain, then it's best and to construct a green tree, a stone made of wall, or a stone and wall made of stone. It does not necessarily have to be a wall made of stone. It can be a barbed wire. It can be done
by appointing an officer in center with a coordinated hand ready to slice over the head of anyone who makes an attempt to send them out.
That will
preclude any possible attempt on the part of any Jew to send them out.
And that's the most convenient way of ensuring
a prevention of any approach by you.
So when the Bishop set the most why is it necessary to warn them again? You can even tell some sacred to be ready to hit anyone that tries to throw the mountain. But you know what I can, two, that sometimes we have to resort to force in order to deter people from crime and sin. But the perpetuation of the Torah will not be ensured on the basis of this duty. Because what if the Jews will be in exile and there will not be anyone who will be interested in the preservation of the Torah? What if the Jews will be forced to abandon the Torah? What will ensure the perseverance of the Jewish people in their attachment to the Torah? It will be by no means. There must be a good thing, there must be a voluntary barrier which will prevent the Jews from violating the will of God. And why did the Rebellion couple Martin Torah with this commandment of his vital something? It was because this commandment is symbolic and reflective of the whole Torah. The purpose of the whole Torah is to set bounds. The Torah does not require the Jew that he deny himself before the right. On the contrary, in order to consider the chesed, because he denies to himself the gains of life. But the Torah expects the Jew to set bounds. The Torah does not deny the right of the Jew to partake of food. But when a Jew eats food, so he has to set bounds. He cannot eat like an animal. He has to grab anything that he can physically get into his hand. He wants to eat basar, he can help basar. But first, that certain meaning that has to be excluded. And even the meaning we cannot exclude it, so he must swallow it in a certain way. A way which is the least painful to the animal, in spite of all the arguments that are raised by some so-called father of Heinrich. And then, after he has slaughtered the animal in a certain way, then he has to prepare it in a certain way. He has to draw out the blood. He has to remove the chalet. He has to remove the unnecessary. He cannot just get through the meat like an animal. He can partake of all the things of life. But he must sit down. This is the reason as to why the Torah coupled Matthew Torah with this commandment, because it is reflective of the essence of the Torah. Therefore, the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted the result to be realized not through the Gvul Tzvi, because the Gvul Tzvi is not very effective. You cannot appoint a policeman to stand over you all the time. The only effective method of preserving the Torah and of perpetuating the Torah throughout the generations is through the Gvul Tzvi. Now, his story tells of the Yitzchak of the Bitzvah was known to be a Milamed Chus. I'll tell you for it. At a certain time, a certain year, there was an Esau to the Jews of his town. And he wanted to demonstrate
to the rebellious Shalom, the nobility and the piety of Israel, which I'm going to tell you about. He sent out messengers to find that he should find, that he should look for illegal merchandise in the homes, and all of the people sent them out, to look for illegal merchandise in the homes of the Jews. And the punishment at that time for a Jew who was caught with illegal merchandise was immediate death, without a trial. He sent out a few messengers, a few hands of his Hasidim, to look to find illegal merchandise. And they looked and they found more than one home. Then they came and reported to the Jews of Israel that they found illegal merchandise in a few homes. Then he sent the same messengers in person to ransack the houses of the Jews in the town and to look for one form of commerce. It was already Erev Pesach Hatzor. And the Jews ransacked all the homes in the town, and they did not find in one home that they could not find one form of commerce. And then the day and then Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yitzchak lifted his eyes and said, the day is around. Look, me come from the Torah of the Yachad Lorah. The Torah, thousands of years ago, mentioned the word that you heard by the mouth. There is no police force, there is no army to enforce it. And if a Jew is caught in Chomet HaMelcher, and if a Jew is observed, he's in Chomet HaMelcher. Can anything be done for him? On the contrary, we'll probably be in there. So, there wasn't one thing shown where a form of promise could be found. And here, there is a law by the Tsar that if anyone is caught with illegal merchandise, he is to be shot without a trial. And that does not deter them from dealing with illegal merchandise. What is that so? That the voluntary barrier is much more effective than the guilty. But the guilty is important. The guilty is important. When the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of Yirat Hashem, of Yareit HaMelekecha, so the Rambam says, the Sefer HaMitzvah, שמצטעדינו מירי מיון שתי, כאילו פחי גינון. This is a lesson of the Rambam Sifan, Mitzvah Dawa. We just see that according to Rambam Sifan Mitzvah, the essential feature in the Mitzvah of Yarek Mitzvah is Yirachel, not Yirachel. On the other hand, the Rambam in Yirachel Sifan says, that he at the end said for Khan, for Philip, was for Bal Kochmo, he at the end is the real goal, not he at the end. I will not have a marriage to meet the Pira Vita, the Hakmota, the Pita Kabel, the Labrochi, the Pira Vita, 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 the כי שמשו מן הכל תחתיב את הפירה איתי של הכל את מחי אל המבוא יראו להביא את הישם על הדרך הזה שאוהיל את הדרך הזה הוא יאיד מיירו ונמעה לתנזים ונמעה לתרחמים ונמעיד עם הישם הזה הזה להקטני שמחנכם איתם לאב מיירו עד שתהיה בדעתם ויעד במעב it seems the Rambam here has contempt for your faith the only glorify your faith is in the The Rambam says, Hamitra says, that the essential feature in the Arisa Malakaho is the Mishtadim in Yiva Milan, so we talk at Milano. And how can we say that Yira Ta'ilish is only for Tanim when the Torah emphasizes Yira Ta'ilish so much? The Prophet and the Cleric, the Tayyachet, The answer is two. Yirat Ta'ilish is only for some. And two persons should refrain from sin, not because of any penalty that is to have. He should aspire towards no deed, not because of any reward that is to follow, but because of the good deeds that is so, we should refrain from sin because it is sinful.
But Tommy, an adulterer throughout canon of discipline only to a certain degree of the offense. There are many psychologists who advise parents. The answer is true. Your offense is only for fun. In true persons should refrain from sin, not because of any penalty that is to have. He should aspire towards noble deeds, not because of any reward that is to follow, but because of the good deeds themselves. He should refrain from sin because it is sinful. But Tommy, an adulterer throughout canon of discipline only to a certain degree of your offense. There are many psychologists who advise parents that they should subject the children's fingers to the fire so that they should feel the burn. And that will deter the children from coming in contact with fire. It's necessary. Two, the burning barber is a hinder for Shem Rehavo in Yirat Reimu. Not Yirat Reimu. Yirat Reimu is proper for planning, but unfortunately, every person, the most mature person, still retains some childishness within him. And in order to be able to attain a hinder for Shem Rehavo, he must first go through the stage of Yirat Reimu. Otherwise, you'll never attain Avodah Hashem Le'avah. This is indispensable for Avodah Hashem Le'avah. The goal is that the Torah be perpetuated through the voluntary barrier, not through the military, not through sanctions, not through physical force, but Yerushalayim is a necessary means in disciplining a child and a grown-up, because every grown-up is also a child. As the Rambam says in Chumash, Ki yitzer alei v'odom ra. Doesn't mean Ram Lirot that a person is evil from childhood. A child is not evil, has to tell him. A child is pure, but a child has a tendency to imitate others. When a child sees any mischief that is done by other children, so the best child is likely to imitate. You hate the law, why is it that? Not that basically a person is evil. You know, because every person is a child. Even when he grows up, he still retains some of the immaturity and the childishness of the child. And in order to overcome that, you must resort to the cruelty. As it means, towards disciplining the person. But the goal is not the application of the Gvur Tilling, but the application of the Gvur Tilling. Now, the Mizbeach and the Matzei. The Mizbeach represented the Korbanot that the person is expected to offer in face of adversity. And the Matzei will represent the korbanos that the person is expected to offer in face of success, prosperity, and happiness. Why is a person likely to succumb to sin in face of adversity? Because of the yitzer hara ha-pnimi. Because of the instinct of the person. Because of the biological instinct, a person is driven to a few threats. And of course, the greater the hardship, the greater the temptation. The greater the misery, the greater the drive to a human crime. Consequently,
in order to contract the pull of the Nitzara'a, in order to contract the pull of gravity that is exerted by the animal instinct that reigns within man, it is necessary to resort to the aid of the Gvul Tiri. Without recourse to the Gvul Tiri, without sanction, there cannot be any discipline, and that the person is likely to be trained by his appetite and his animal instinct. But a person does not drift away from the path of God on account of success and security and happiness. If people do move away from the path of God in face of success, security and happiness, it is not because of the Yetzer Hara HaPnimi, it is not because of the animal instinct, it is not because of the appetite in ruling the man, but it is because of what the Chachmei Amusa call the Yetzer Hara HaChitzoni, the cultural impact. Because of the cultural impact of the environment, and the greater the glory of personal faith, the more susceptible he is to fall prone to the Yetzer Hara HaChitzoni, to the environment. The greater the career he attains, the more arrogant he becomes. The more wealth he accumulates, the more likely he is to be swayed by the Yetzer Hara HaChitzoni, by the cultural, social environment. That cannot be counteracted through the application of the Gvul Tiri. Through the application of the Gvul Tiri, you can counteract the appetite, the animal instinct, but not the cultural and social environment. The impact of the cultural and social environment, the impact of the Yetzer Hara HaChitzoni, can be counteracted only through the application of the Gvul Tiri, to the voluntary barrier. And it is for this reason that the Kabbalists, that the many that practice to offer in face of misery, persecution, and hardship is represented by the Mizbeach, and the Kabbalists that one is expected to offer in face of success, happiness, and security is represented by the Matzeh. One reason was, as I mentioned before, because in order to climb up the Mizbeach, so you must overcome the pull of gravity. Whereas, in order to go above a stone, you don't have to exert any considerable force. But there's another reason as to why the Kabbalists that are to be offered in face of adversity are represented by the Mizbeach, a structure of many stones. And the Kabbalists that are to be offered in face of happiness and success are represented by a table, a single stone. Because the Mizbeach is a structure in the world. It's a structure of many stones. It represents the Gvul Tiri. Whereas the Matevo is a single stone, that is symbolic of the Gvul Tiri. And Yaakov set up a Matevo. He did, as I mentioned before, he didn't have to strengthen himself in the realm of the Mizbeach. He knew that he was capable of facing adversity without deviating from the path of God. But he wanted to fortify himself and strengthen himself in the realm of the Matevo, that he shouldn't succumb to temptation in face of success and happiness. In order to counteract the Yetzer Hara HaChitzoni, Yaakov had to employ not the aid of the Gvul Tiri, not self-discipline, but the aid of the Gvul Tiri, or the voluntary barrier. Not of Yirat HaEinesh, but of Yirat HaEinesh, of love of God. So Yirat HaEinesh, you can counteract the force of the appetite, but not the culture and the social environment. In order to counteract the impact of the culture and the social environment, you must resort to the aid of the voluntary barrier. Love of God, Yahweh Hashem. Not your direct. The dream was presented before Mati Torah, two separate entities. But at Mati Torah, the Rebbeinu Shalom integrated the two. Why? Both are to be offered under the Mizbeach. So the answer is that true, consciously, a person falls prey to the prevailing ideas that are popular in the environment on the basis of intellectual conviction. But unconsciously, a person falls prey to so-called intellectual conviction because of the force of the appetite for animalism. There is a very peculiar definition given by the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah and Chul of Inui. Inui is not a Torah, a heretic, one who denies the fundamental principles of the Torah, an atheist. The Rambam explains, V'aminu, heimeinu, ha'anoshim, sheishchiro ha'tavo, me'elekifo. These are the people whose appetite is animalistic, darkens the light of their intellect. Now, what does Titus do with Minus? Titus relates to certain intellectual notions, ideas. It's nothing to do with appetite. The answer is that when David HaMelech said in Kirin, Oma Novel de Ribe, Eina Mishin, his Chisri Tivu, so it doesn't mean that as a result of the atheistic conviction, a person becomes morally corrupt, but it works the other way. Consciously, first comes the atheistic conviction, and then comes the moral corruption. This is the conscious order. But unconsciously, first comes an inclination and a disposition towards the gratification of the appetite. But a person cannot indulge in the gratification of his appetite because he knows there is an eye of any of the Shabbat. The whole master hasn't saved by that story. Consequently, he manipulates and he conjures up a whole philosophy in order to justify the indulgence of the mistake. Unconsciously, it is first the inclination towards the gratification of the appetite, and then comes the intellectual conviction. So he says, when Jesus is dying, and the mayor, he can indulge in his instinct. This is the reason as to why the Rebbeinu Shalom and Matan Torah integrated the two kinds of kavanah. And both of them were combined on the Mizbeach. True, the only way to counteract the force of the cultural and social environment is through the application of the voluntary barrier. That is to be represented by a single stone. Not by Mizbeach's structure, it will be. But the reason is why so many people so prey to Yitzhak is unconsciously stems from an inclination towards the participation of appetite in order to obstruct that life, then the true TV must be resolvable. Consequently, the Torah of Matan Torah integrated the two kinds of Kabbalah.